Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. It says this: Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is this chapter actually is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's chapter 5 through 7 all has parts of the Sermon on the Mount. This is right there in the middle of it. And if you would read through chapter 6, there are so many references to the rewards that will be in heaven. There's many references. I think it's might be verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 16. They're all over. So many verses talk about the treasures in heaven. Sometimes I find that it seems like we don't necessarily want to talk about the treasures that will come in heaven. But the reality is that the Bible, Jesus mentions them very, very often. Maybe we think we shouldn't be doing things for the wrong motives, and that's very true. The Bible tells us that we should do all things with the motive of love. And so that's very true. But sometimes I wonder if it detracts us from what is also so very important. That there are treasures in heaven, and the Bible tells us repeatedly, that we will be given treasures in heaven based on our works here on earth. Now, before we get off on the wrong track, salvation has nothing to do with this. Salvation is by faith alone. Faith in the Lord, Jesus Christ, and His saving work on the cross. His forgiveness of our sins, His shedding of His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. This is all by faith, all by grace. Nothing to do with works. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It's nothing to do with us. But once we are saved, our works count for treasures in heaven. Once we are saved, not if we do all the good works in the world and we don't accept Christ, that doesn't count at all. Because salvation only comes through Christ. But once we are saved, there are treasures in heaven that are given to us based on what we do here on earth. That is also said throughout the whole New Testament. Paul says it a couple of times. Jesus says it so many times. John says it. We are given reward. And the thing that's fascinating to me is so many people make doctrines out of one little verse. They get one little verse and they make such a huge deal out of it. Denominations often are formed on one little verse. Because this group of people wants to emphasize this one little verse, when something as large as this is throughout the whole New Testament. There are treasures in heaven that await us based on what we do. So our mind should be focused on what can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? What can I do next week? What am I doing in general that will store up these treasures in heaven? Because that is worth eternity. Eternally, we will reap the rewards. And this verse tells us, don't put so much of your effort into the rewards that could be gained here on earth, because those are just temporary. Put your investment where it counts. Put your investment in something that's going to last you forever. And maybe sometimes that requires you to give up some of the time and energy
energy and resources that you might invest here on this earth so that they can be used for eternal
rewards. It is all over. The Bible tells us in so many places. Even in this chapter, I mean, the rewards are mentioned so often. In verse, he tells us in verse 1, you will have no reward in heaven if you do this. And there are other verses which say, great is your reward in heaven. If men persecute you, if men do this to you falsely, great is your reward in heaven. He who gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones will by no means lose his reward. Paul talks about the crown that awaits us in heaven. These are real things that are beyond our imagination, beyond anything that we could imagine putting in here on earth. You take that, and it doesn't even come close to what God has for us in heaven. Because it says in the Bible, it says that no man can even imagine the things that he has in store for those that love him. I'm not just making that up when I say we can't even imagine how good the things are that await us in heaven. It's a biblical principle. And in more than one place, it tells us that. It says it in the Old Testament, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither is entered into the heart of the man things that God has prepared for us. That is repeated in the New Testament. The amazing plan that God has for our eternity based on what we do here on this earth. I'll read to you just one of these. I mean, there are dozens of places that say this kind of thing. This one is from Matthew 16. I just picked it because they're everywhere. You can pick any, so many places. Matthew 16, 27. It says this, and this theme is repeated in so many, in multiple places throughout the New Testament. Matthew 16, 27. It says this, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His work. When Jesus Christ comes again, and that day is approaching very fast for any of you who follow the things going on in the world, Jesus predicted all of the things that we see daily in the news were going to happen. He predicted that 2,000 years ago. We're in a generation which all of these things, so many of them, maybe not all, but it certainly seems like that, are coming together all once, and he says, look for the signs, and these are the signs of when I'm going to come. And we are so privileged. We're in a generation that sees so much of the fulfillment of Jesus' words in our lifetime. And it tells us when he comes back, his reward will be given to us based on what we do. Now, there's all kinds of things. He says, don't tell anybody what you're doing. Don't let it be known. Don't go trumpeting around. You know, this is what I do. And this is what I've done. Sometimes it's impossible not to have people know. Sometimes it's impossible. You can't do everything in a closet. You can't do everything in secret. And so that's okay. We don't have to be worried about that. God knows. But as much as possible, he's saying, don't look for glory for yourself. Because he says, if you get it, then he says, if you're looking for glory for yourself, then you already have your reward. Indicating that there is a reward that would come. We make forward investments. The Bible tells us that if we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, we receive a prophet's reward. If we receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, we receive a righteous man's reward. There are so many places and so many times that this subject is talked about. We should be thinking about our actions all the time, because what is the actions that are referred to when it says they will receive a reward based on their works. It's basically, you could lump it all into our actions and often our reactions as well. How did we act? What did we do? And how did we react? Because often we could demonstrate to the world Christ in us by the way we react. We know how the world, the unsaved, react in situations. We expect many negative reactions. And if we react differently and we show the light of Christ and we show that there's something different in us, these reactions as well, these are works as well that God does not leave unnoticed. He notices. He records. He knows all these things. And one day we will be rewarded for them. I'm going to have you turn or look at Revelation 22 as well. Revelation 22 and verse number 12. For those of you who didn't realize, this is the last chapter of the Bible. The last chapter. And this is what it says, Revelation 22, 12. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works." Or according to his work. I'll read it again. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." It strikes me that if you're winding down and you have very little time left to say anything, that often you say things that are very important. If you there are many times when people's last words seem to be just so powerful. And here we have, just a few verses before the Bible wraps up, one of the last things that God wants to leave with us is, "I'm coming quickly and I have your reward. I'm coming quickly and yes, there is a reward for you based on what you do." One of the final impressions that God wants to leave in our minds, if we read all the way to the end of the book, is there are rewards in heaven and they are based on what you will do for me. So we should think about it. We should have it in our minds. We should be wondering all the time. We should put it in. We should put it in. We should invest our time and we should invest our energy and we should invest our talents into things that don't rust, into things that don't fade away, into something that will last forever. And many times we put all of that into something that will last only here. Only here on this earth. Does it mean that God doesn't want us to have nice things and doesn't want us to work for it? That doesn't mean that at all. Because the Bible is clear. It tells us that we should have a treasure. Where our treasure is, our heart is also. The key is the heart. The key is the heart. It's not that the Bible says that we can't have nice things and we can't have possession. The key is, as it so often says, that our possessions don't possess us. The key is that when we get things, that our heart is not so tied to them. The key is that the things of this life aren't where we get so wrapped up in them that they have the ability to overtake our life and overtake our thoughts and overtake everything that we do, that we work for these things, because then we have the litmus test which says there your heart is. If you're so consumed with the things of this world, then we must wonder, is our heart there, rather than in the things of heaven? So we are allowed to have the things and the blessings that this world affords us,
The Bible tells us we should have an abundant life. It doesn't necessarily mean things, because the Bible is pretty clear. It's not how many. I mean, there used to be bumper stickers, and you would see the saying at various places: "He who dies with the most stuff wins." Absolutely unbiblical. Absolutely wrong.
Completely wrong. Completely unbiblical. The Bible says your life is not measured by how much possessions you have. The Bible says the exact opposite of that. But it doesn't mean that we can't have nice things. It means our heart should not be set on them. It should not take us away from the kingdom of God. The blessings that He has, He's given us, should not take us away from the one who has blessed us. Blessing should not overtake the blessed. It's biblical. It's biblical. Because we are still able, we're still able to love God and have this divided heart. It doesn't mean it's right, but we can still love God, but still love lots of other things. You could still love God, and this is where God judges the heart. Does he or she love all these things more than they love me? Even like he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these? I know you love these. I know you love me. Which one do you love more?" Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Where your treasure is, that's where your mind is going to go to. Over and over again. Now, the part of the thing that we do in our culture is that we want the best of both worlds. Don't we? And you see it all the time. You see it all the time. We're Americans. We don't want to lack in anything. We want everything. We want what's good and what's coming, and we want what's good now. We want it all. In fact, it's often a praise quality in our generation, in our culture, when a person, a man or woman, could do everything. They could go to work, and they could work for 10 hours a day, and then they could go work out, and they could be healthy, and then they could come home, and then they could take care of a family, and then they could cart the kids off to some function, and they could do this and that, and then they volunteer in their community, and they do all the stuff. And people say, "Wow, they're doing it all. They're doing it all. This is great." You know, and it's usually in a complimentary way. They're doing it all. And a lot of times we bring that same mentality into our Christian service as well. We'll have everything here, and we're going to try and work for there too. We'll have as much as we can here, and we'll have as much as we can in heaven. And the Bible clearly tells us that we have to lay up our treasures in heaven, and not necessarily here on earth. Put your time and your resources and everything that you have into heavenly things, where your heart will be, where your heart will be, where your treasure is. And I know it's a long way off for many people, and it's hard to. That's another thing that's hard in our culture is to see something that might be in the future. I remember starting out. In my 20s, my first real job, well, actually my second real job, but they offered a retirement plan. And I remember thinking, a retirement plan? I'm 20 years old. That's never going to happen. 20? Come on, there's plenty of time for retirement. And now that people all around me are retiring, I was like, where did the time go? Where did it go? I thought I had 30 years, and then I turn around, and it's been almost 30 years, and it's going by so quickly. And so we have a hard time putting serious effort into things that we can't see, or they're more than a couple years away. We want the investment now. We want things now. What we have is always, we always want something better now, we want it faster, and we want it more. I work in a business which emphasizes exactly that.
I work, as all of you know, or most of you know, I work in the mobile technology, and we started out with 2G technology, and then we went to 3G technology, which was faster, and then we went to 4G technology, and now what's being worked on is 5G technology. I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years from now, if Jesus doesn't come, we'll be up to 10G or 11G, I don't know. But 5G promises to be 10 times faster than 4G. Who needs this fastness? Who needs it? I mean, what are we downloading? What are we doing? But people are demanding it. Because we want things now. I don't want to wait for the little thing to scroll across my phone. I want it now. When I press the button, it's got to be there. So how do we go into, well, I'm going to invest into my future that is so long away, and I'm not even sure what I'm going to get. We also want to know what we're going to get. We monitor that. We monitor those investments just so closely. What happened in Japan? What happened over here? What happened in the tech stocks? What happened over here? What happened in penny stocks? What happened all over the place? We want to know. And we can't necessarily know what it is that we're going to get. And so we tend to maybe not be so interested in the game because we don't understand what the reward is going to be. But it's going to be amazing. By faith in the Word of God, we know it's going to be amazing. And we are a people that wants it all. And sometimes we can give up what's good because we're so focused on trying to get it all rather than put our efforts in the thing that matters the most. We are a people that likes to do things in parallel. We do as many things as we can, as often as we can. I am probably one of the worst offenders in this, of trying to do things in parallel and trying to do as many things as possible all at once. I'm probably one of the worst offenders at doing this. I mean, that's just the way my brain works. You know, if I do something and I have to wait 10 minutes and I'm doing something else in that 10 minutes, that's just the way my mind goes. At work, my situation is that I work in 3 different labs at the same time. And I'm in a chair that's a rolling chair, and I just literally roll around from one place. There's like 9 different computers, and I just roll around from one to the next, and I start this, move to the next one, start that, move there, and then this takes 15 minutes, go here, start something else in the 15, okay, and then after all that's going, then I go get coffee. Because even that is not good enough. You want to do all these things in parallel. This is not... I'd probably look a little crazy when I'm doing it. But all of it is just because you want everything all at once. You want everything quickly. And sometimes you just need to step back and say, I need to really put time into something that's going to last forever. Not something that's just going to last for the moment. Because the Bible says moth and rust, they corrupt things here. But in heaven, they don't. There's no corruption. There's no loss. There's no stealing in heaven. Everything will be maintained. And he says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. He's saying, be intentional. Be intentional. Don't leave it to chance. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Be intentional about what you're doing for God. Be intentional about your actions. Be intentional about your reactions. Be intentional about the works that you do for God. Don't just hope that something good will come. Be intentional. Lay them up. Make sure you know what you're doing for God. And so, as we come to a close,
as we come to a close, the question that has to be contemplated by each one of us is, what am I doing that will reward me in heaven? What am I doing? What am I doing? And the more specific you get, the better. What am I doing that will lay up treasures for me in heaven? What did I do yesterday that will lay up treasures for me in heaven? What did I do last week that I will get a reward in heaven? Not that we do things out of wrong motives. I will say it again. The Bible says that we can give our bodies to be burned, but if it's not for love, it doesn't count, doesn't profit us anything. Our motive has to be the love of God. Our motive has to be the love of God. And maybe you start out and maybe your motive is not the love of God, but as you do the action oftentimes, the correct attitude comes. Oftentimes you might not be feeling good. You might not be feeling good, but then your mood might not be the greatest. But then if you start humming a little song, after a little while your mood starts to change. And so you start humming the song, and your mood might not be good, but over time your mood changes. And sometimes that's the way it is with doing good things. You might not have the right motive completely. You want to have the right motive. You ask God to give you the right motive. You ask God to change your heart. You start doing it, and God changes that inside you. You don't wait until everything is perfect before you start doing things for God. You jump in and let God change you in the process. Through the storm. Through the situation. He changes us. And so it is a worthwhile exercise to know what it is that you're doing that's significant for heaven, for heavenly rewards. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that it's going to matter. And the Bible even tells us that in the judgment day, and I know I've told you this before, but wow, it bears repeating. In that judgment day, the Bible tells us we will suffer loss. We will suffer loss. Because it says all of your works are going to be put to the fire, and the fire, I just put together other pieces of the Word of God, the eyes of God that are a flame of fire, and I just kind of in my own mind imagine that God just looks at all of our works with those flaming eyes of fire, and whatever is good remains, and whatever is bad, he calls wood, hay, and stubble, and they get burned up. And he said, whatever remains after the fire has been put to them, that's what you carry into eternity. That will be your reward. And in those same verses, he says, we will suffer loss. It's almost like he's telling us, you're going to realize in that day, wow, I should have done more. I should have done something else. Look what I carried into eternity when I had so much time and I had so much talent and I had so many resources and I had so much that I could have done. And this is what I'm going to carry into eternity forever. The Bible says, don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. I want us to be a people who suffers and loss as little as possible. As little as possible. I want y'all to have the biggest crowns, the biggest treasures to carry through eternity. Something that matters. Something that will last you forever. What did you do today? What did you do yesterday? What will you do tomorrow that will get you a permanent, eternal blessing? In the name of God be praised.